Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Thank you for being with us this Thursday afternoon. Grateful to have you. It's August. Can you believe it's August already? Guys, it's almost Christmas. But before Christmas, we have an election. And after the election will be over. And then we'll have all sorts of new things to discuss. Yesterday, Donald Trump found his way to the National Association of Black Journalists convention, sat on a stage with three black journalists, one of which was Harris Faulkner, and had a little bit of a conversation with them. Let's listen into some of what
And I think the Republican Party is actually much lesser. I think I've made them much less radical, perhaps. But the Republican Party, what we're doing is bringing it back to the states where everybody wanted it. Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, everybody wanted abortion brought back. They didn't want Roe v. Wade in the federal government. They wanted it. Everybody wanted it back.
But the majority of Americans oppose Roe v. Wade being overturned.
They don't know about this. Right now, they're voting. It brought it back to the states. Now, I happen to believe in the three exceptions. Ronald Reagan believed with rape, incest, life of the mother. I do. I think most people do. I think most Republicans do also. But if you take a look, right now they're doing, it's an amazing thing. Out of the federal government, it's in states, and people are voting.
Donald Trump responding to the question that was posed to him in a way that was like, why do Republicans want to control every aspect of people's lives? And then it was, of course, including the abortion discussion as well. Donald Trump is on the right track. He's talking about how the left is the radical here. Not the Republicans. The Democrats are the radicals when it comes to the abortion issue. I don't always think that Donald Trump just gets straight to the point. I kind of wish he would say it and then be like, next question. But of course, as I have highlighted many times, he likes to suck up as much time and energy that is in the room when he's answering these questions. He wants to be in control and in charge. It is who he is. That's not going to change. Every time he goes in and starts talking about the, is it Northam? Was that Youngkin is the current governor of Virginia, correct? And Northam was the one who had said in that radio interview that if there was an abortion that was performed and the abortion wasn't successful, that in the event of a situation like that, the baby would be made to be comfortable while the mother and the doctor had a discussion on what to do next. I mean, I don't even like it when people call it infanticide. That's just homicide.
Mm-hmm.
To think that you would end up ending the life of that born baby because the abortion wasn't successfully performed, that is outrageous. The Democrats are the ones who have publicly talked about this. You don't have to take Trump's word for it. You can go check out the video if it hasn't been completely memory-holed by big tech. In California, they looked to pass legislation that would talk about essentially fourth-term abortions. It was incredibly radical. It was ripped out of the legislation, but it's part of the discussion, and that's how these things happen. I don't think that when abortion was first being talked about that we would be talking about the legalization of abortion at 40 weeks. I mean, you could be pregnant long past 40 weeks. What a nightmare. Thought that is. It is true that the left is radical on the issue of abortion. Mm-hmm. And Donald Trump is consistently making that point. Sometimes I wish he'd be more concise in the way he makes that point. I don't think that if you're standing in front of a bunch of people in the black community, that it's safe and fair to say that they're all pro-abortion. Some of the most passionately pro-life people I know also happen to be black. Here's more from David.
She was always of Indian heritage, and she was only promoting Indian heritage. I didn't know she was black until a number of years ago when she happened to turn black, and now she wants to be known as black. So I don't know, is she Indian or is she black?
She has always identified as a black woman.
I respect either one, but she obviously doesn't, because she was Indian all the way, and then all of a sudden she made a turn and she went. She became a black person.
Just to be clear, sir, I think somebody
should look into that, too, when you ask a continue in a very hostile, nasty tone.
He gets his nasty word in there. So she says that Kamala Harris has always identified as black. And then she said she went to a historically black college. The National Center for Education Statistics says in 2022, non-black students made up 24% of enrollment at HBCUs. 24% in 2022, not black. So you're not, you don't have to be black to go to an HBCU. And 24% of non-blacks in HBCUs in 2022 is up from 15% in 1976. It's not, I mean, I don't even really know how else to say it. I mean, that has nothing to do with the color of her skin. Kamala Harris has been very proud of her Indian heritage.
Okay, so what we're going to cook today is an Indian recipe.
Yes.
Because you are Indian.
Yes, yes.
Okay, and I don't know that everybody knows that, but I find that wherever I go and I see Indian people at the supermarket, on the street, everyone's like, you know Kamala Harris is Indian, right? It's like our thing we're so excited about to have you running for president.
Yeah.
So we're both Indian.
Yes.
But actually, we're both South Indian.
Yes. You look like the entire one half of my family.
Okay, thank you.
You do.
I've been telling people we're related already, so this is perfect. It's basically true.
So, I mean, I can tell you right now that I'm of German heritage and I'm of Australian heritage. My grandmother is from Australia. My grandpa met her in World War II. She came here. They started a family. I'm a quarter Australian. I'm a quarter Australian. That doesn't make me not German. Those happen to be two very white heritages. So you could be more than one thing at a time. She has Jamaican descent as well. I think Donald Trump is playing the odds that that individuals in the black community know that Kamala Harris has very much so talked about her Indian heritage, and that if she's going to choose to be chameleon about who she is based on who she's in front of, I think what Donald Trump is counting on is that black people would not appreciate the fact that she is a black person when she's in front of a black audience, an Indian person when she's with Mindy Kaling cooking an Indian dish. That's a roll of the dice that Donald Trump is counting on. I don't know that there is a purpose in this that is on the whole advantageous to Donald Trump. But if you listen to when Donald Trump was responding to these questions, I don't think that anybody who is in play from an electorate standpoint, I don't think anybody who's in play watches what took place at this interview and watches these journalists interview Donald Trump. They basically slap him in the face and then state a fact and try to put him in a position where he's going to have to deny it or agree with it. It's incredibly combative. It's completely not surprising. It's not shocking. It's not like Donald Trump walked in there and expected something incredibly different. In fact, I would assume that he walked in there, you know, ready to have the dukes up, thinking that this is what could possibly happen. Harris Faulkner was one of the three journalists that was on the stage questioning Donald Trump at this National Association of Black Journalists panel. And this is how she reacted to being there in the moment. Listen to this.
What the nation has seen is this incredible buildup with journalists here reportedly upset because Donald Trump was coming. Some of them. And some of them we really hadn't heard from. So what I loved about what you couldn't see today was how much of that audience was enjoying the moment of hearing from a candidate that they might not always agree with. And that is the whole point. That is the growth of journalism, to be able to listen and question those things that you may not know about because you don't often talk to that person or those people. That was the goal here. So for all of that pushback, young journalists that I'm talking to after the event are saying, well, we're glad he's here.
It's important that he showed up. You know who didn't show up? Kamala Harris. She had a scheduling conflict. She's going to show up and do a panel, and it's going to be via satellite. It's not going to be in person. The Trump team was told that she would be there at the same time. That's not how that ended up playing out. It's hard to watch Kamala Harris continue to duck and dodge and dip and dive and dodge, answering unscripted questions where she can't have scripted answers, or if she's very good at her job, she'll have her memorized retort. When a question is asked of her, she'll, you know, brush by the topic and then she'll turn it around on Donald Trump, which is what a good politician does. That's what they do. They control the message. They control the response all of the time. And the best of them don't. They make it so you don't even realize they're not answering the question when they respond. But Kamala Harris is not putting herself in a position where she has to be challenged in any way, shape, or form. It's incredibly managed. Do you think that she's going to... I keep seeing these headlines. Kamala Harris is going to have to answer real questions. Kamala Harris is going to have to get off the script and face real tough journalism. That's not true. Why would that be true? Why would Kamala Harris have to do anything that Joe Biden didn't have to do to get elected? Oh, because it's not 2020? Because it's not COVID anymore? Baloney. There's no pressure whatsoever for Harris Faulkner to put herself in any sort of compromising position whatsoever. She just doesn't have to do it. Are you going to see Rachel Maddow go, Kamala Harris, it's time you come and answer our tough questions. We want to know where you are on these specific policies. You were against fracking. Now you're maybe not completely against fracking, or, you know, the constant turnabouts that she has had on major policy issues that are going to matter dramatically when it comes to auto workers in Michigan or energy workers in Pennsylvania and in the Rust Belt. People want to know where you stand on these issues. You think Rachel Maddow is going to come out and demand responses from Kamala Harris? You think Anderson Cooper is going to force the issue? Do you think that you're going to see these people come out and call her out for not answering questions? You're not going to see that. Fox News is going to do it, and Fox News is going to do it because that's what Fox News does. That's on brand for Fox News. If Kamala Harris can successfully, I think we're 96 days out of the election. If Kamala Harris, if her intent is to pre-produce every opportunity that she has to be in front of a camera without having to sit down and have a real conversation with a journalist, she's going to get away with it. So how does the truth get out? You know, maybe her position on some of these issues is actually what most of America wants to see. Come out and say it. What is your position on the Middle East? What happens if Iran strikes Israel? What do you do, Kamala Harris? You're the commander in chief. What do you do? What is America's role? What is their involvement? What are you willing to do to implement and enforce a Green New Deal on the people of the United States? And what does a Green New Deal entail? How much more do we have to pay for it? What do we have to give up for it? What kind of jobs will be eliminated in the process of it? What kind of payoff do we get from it? These are all questions that American voters absolutely need to have answered, and we do not have an honest media that will pursue those questions. Not on the whole. We have people in the media who are honest, but we do not have a mandate from our journalistic representatives to get to the truth for you. It's always for them. And if the Foxes of the world are going to push back against Kamala Harris, that's good for Fox. And it's almost better for the people on the right side to, it just subsidizes the point that Kamala Harris is running scared. Hayden Harris can't come out and answer a question of the American people. And if she's going to duck all of those interviews, Fox News, our show, for heaven's sake, all of the people on the right side of the aisle can come out and say, see, she's too afraid to answer. She doesn't have the answers. She doesn't have the answers that are going to get the right people to show up and vote for her, so she won't do it, and she will not be held accountable. That means that the other side of the aisle, Donald Trump's side of the aisle, they have to be out there talking about policies. They have to be out there talking about restoring America to the people, shrinking government, lowering tax burdens, lowering the national debt, keeping American soldiers safe and secure, not getting them into the places in this world where weak leadership has put our men and women in danger. We have to be in a position where we know who represents what. And if Kamala Harris has no presence to provide answers, that is, in fact, an answer. That means she doesn't answer to you. That means she doesn't care enough about what you think about the issues or how you might feel about her her perspectives on the issue. If that's the instance that we find ourselves moving through October, that Kamala Harris, Hayden Harris, isn't going to be out there to answer to you, then do not think for a second that her presidency is going to concern you. Don't think for a second that Kamala Harris is going to be out there bringing the people back into the federal government. They all know better than you of what to do for your life. And they're just waiting for you to be content enough, afraid enough of the other guy, and content enough to vote for anybody but Trump. Let us know if you think that Kamala Harris can win the presidency. Yes or no? I'll tell you the short answer right now. You're darn right she can. Some of you have disagreed with that, and you've left a lot of comments for us. So if you come to the Annie Fry YouTube channel, you can vote. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? Lori says no. I have faith that she will not. Too much of her past is coming up. I don't see a lot of her past being represented right now, but there's still time. RSG said, I said no. What's the matter with you kids? Did you just fall out of a coconut tree? Okay, I see what you did there. I see, RSG, what you did there. Let us know what you think. Go vote. Can she win? Yes or no? And leave us a comment. We might feature it when we come back. Don't go away.
We can report, according to a senior administration official, that among those being released by Russia today are Paul Whelan and Evan Gershkovich. They are being released by Russia. They are going to be on their way home, if not already, then in short order. This is such wonderful news. These are the biggest names of those who are expected to be part of this exchange. It has been such a battle to try to get these two men released from Russian custody. Paul Whelan arrested first in 2018 and held for the past 6 years, convicted on espionage charges back in 2020. Evan Gershkovich simply doing his job as an American reporter in Russia, arrested last March, very quickly accused of espionage, and then finally convicted last month in July on those charges and sentenced to 16 years in a penal colony.
Listen to this part of this swap. Wall Street, this is from Fox News Report. Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich made a request to interview Russian President Vladimir Putin in his exit paperwork before the release. What a journalist.
Wow.
Gershkovich and American veteran Paul Whelan are in U.S. custody after a massive swap of political prisoners. According to the report from the Wall Street Journal, Gershkovich was required to submit paperwork for a presidential pardon to complete the swap. Gershkovich reportedly used that form to leave a brief note asking for a sit-down interview with the Russian president.
Wow. All right. Let's see if he takes it.
Then he gets captured again.
Ooh. Yeah, that'd be a bad move.
Should America say you're not allowed to travel to Russia anymore?
No, I don't think they should. I think they should make it very clear that you shouldn't.
Yeah, but if you do and you get captured...
Yeah.
Does America have the responsibility to try to get you back?
I don't know. I mean, at this point, you'd have to be assuming all the risk yourself. As much as I'd want the country to go to bat for you because you had been wrongly detained, you had to have known the danger you were stepping into at this point. Now, if this was a few years ago, maybe you wouldn't know. You know, it's a little dangerous. But at this point, this is a world enemy of ours. It's not even really a Cold War. It's a hot war in a sense that we're funding a war in Ukraine. So you're stepping into this. You have to know what you're getting into.
Should if a journalist, Wall Street Journal, if a Wall Street Journal journalist is traveling to Russia to report on Russia, does America have a responsibility to get them back if they are wrongfully detained?
Also, yes. That's what it's a conundrum because I see your point that maybe the government should step in here and say, no, we shouldn't be traveling to Russia anymore. While I think the person should not expect the United States to go to bat for them, we should still go to bat for them.
Brittany Griner was playing basketball in Russia in some other kind of league. She had, what, like some weed on her or something like that?
Mm-hmm.
That's not worth... If it weren't Brittany Griner, people who... I mean, did she do something wrong? Technically, yes. But not that wrong. If she's going to seek a business opportunity, which is what that is to play basketball in Russia, if she's going to seek that out in Russia, is that any different than journalism in Russia? It's a business opportunity. I feel like it comes with a set of consequences. I mean, it's not FAFO, but it's close.
It is different. I mean, going over there for a business opportunity is different than going there to cover something in Russia or the war.
It's journalism. It's his job.
Mm-hmm.
He's not doing this out of the good of his heart.
Okay, but I think the greater point that I'm trying to make is that some of these things, and I think with Brittany Griner in particular, you could say that was pre-war. So we were maybe in a Cold War with Russia at that point, but we were not in a war in the sense that there is actual fighting on the ground going on right now that we're helping fund.
We are not in a hot war with Russia.
We are not.
Mm-hmm. No.
But we are funding a hot war right now in Ukraine. So at this point, things have changed.
That's been the case. I don't know. The perfect phone call from Donald Trump was about providing defense systems for Vladimir Zelensky in Ukraine to combat against Russia. This isn't new.
Well, I mean, in that sense, yes, but that's why I'm still saying we should still go to bat for these people. I just don't like us getting involved and saying you cannot travel this country, no matter what country it is. And part of me, the reason I'm saying that is because of missionaries. I don't want to block people from going into places where they might feel called to go, assuming that they know the risks.
So I was looking at that because I didn't know if you were right in saying that Brittany Griner was arrested in Russia before Russia was in a war. Brittany Griner was arrested in Russia on February 17th of 2022. Russia went into Ukraine February 24th of 2022.
Yeah, it was all at the same time.
It was a matter of days.
Okay.
Russia knew they were going in. Russia knew what was going to happen there. There was already tensions there. So
Brittany Griner didn't know there was a war when she traveled there.
The situation in Russia wasn't dramatically different.
No, it wasn't. And like, because there were still a lot of, because Russia had already amassed troops on the border and they'd been there for a while. The tensions were rising. The thing about that, like it's a small difference, but one of the differences with Brittany Griner to me is Brittany Griner brought something in and broke a law that Russia has. She had the stuff. She said it was a mistake that she had the stuff. There's no question about whether or not she had the stuff. But then you look at like Evan, how do you say his last name again?
Gerskovich. That's what I'm saying this hour. Next hour would be Gerskovich.
But he was arrested under espionage charges. So he was journalisming. He was being a journalist.
Just like us here.
Yeah. Doing the journalism thing.
The title of this hour. Right
so
there.
He was, please, like to me, he was more of a political prisoner. But to your point, does the United States have...
Brittany Griner, I'm going to step in, though. It's not fair to say that Brittany Griner like got what was coming to her way, shape, or form.
They threw the book at her.
She was a political prisoner as much as anybody else was. They were in the middle of a war. Brittany Griner is a nationally, globally known name. And they got the Merchant of Death for her.
Yes.
What a ridiculous plot.
There's no part of, and I'm not a Brittany Griner fan at all, but there's no part of Brittany Griner's arrest where it's like... Well, I mean, no more than anybody else. Like, you're in Russia. If they want you, they're going to take you.
Right. But my point is this. Should the United States negotiate with them? Yes. Should they give up the Merchant of Death to get somebody out? No. No.
Well, I agree.
But here's my thing, though. Whenever you negotiate with these organizations, what do they do? You get what you incentivize. So you give them the Merchant of Death, they're going to take another person and they're going to see what else they can get from you. There's no incentivizing them to not do it. The United States isn't abducting Russians when Russians come to the United States. That's not how this is working. So this is going one way. And you can apply that to any country. And every country sits there and they watch this. So if you want to stop it in the future, you really have to pull back on how much are you really willing to negotiate and how much are you really willing to do it? Do you have to present a front where these countries look at you and say, no, we don't want to abduct Americans. That cost us a lot last time. And the United States' attitude has not been that. People aren't afraid of us. They aren't intimidated by us. They're like, watch this. I'll push them around. So they got Brittany Griner. I said, she's big name. We know the people over in the United States are going to make a big stink about it, and we'll be able to get a big name back for her.
Ender says on YouTube, what she had on her was illegal in the country. That doesn't even matter. Like, again, as if I need to preface this, I do not own a Brittany Griner jersey. I don't even know what team she plays for, but I think it's in California. Is that right? She play in L.A.?
She plays in the U.S.
Now.
I don't know.
Not a Brittany Griner fan. Brittany Griner's sentence was 9 years of hard labor.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's wild.
So the idea that she, you know, air quotes, broke a law, that's just convenient for Russia to be able to say that. As an American, like, if you did the equivalent, I mean, we've pretty much decriminalized all of that now, but, you know, in the past, we've been spending a whole lot of time on both sides of the aisle talking about how we shouldn't be over penalizing this type of possession. The reason Brittany Griner was taken is because Russia does this crap. Russia sees an opportunity and they just take it because they can. My criticism of Brittany Griner is, why the hell are you playing basketball in Russia? Like, was that worth it? Because at the end of the day, in my opinion, it's not my choice. Of course it wasn't worth it. You might ask a journalist, was it worth it? And they might say yes. To me, the investment and the outcome is incredibly different there, but they are both business decisions. Did Brittany Griner need to go to Russia to play basketball? I mean, I don't understand that at all. I do not need to understand it for Brittany Griner to weigh in on her own personal reflection of that decision whatsoever. But in all of the cases, Russia saw an advantage that they were absolutely willing to take, and the possession is just a matter of convenience. It's if you go to Russia, you're playing with fire. And if you go to Russia and they take you and we have to negotiate to get you back, there will be things that will be put at risk for your life. And I think every American should be brought home. So I could sit here for the rest of time and argue both sides of this issue. But if you're going to go try to practice journalism over there so people understand what is really going on in Russia, there's something that is a greater good that comes out of that. I don't really care about Brittany Griner's basketball career. But I also don't think that she deserves 9 years of hard labor in a Russian prison because they found something on her while she was over there playing basketball. You know, my understanding is Brittany Griner and Gerskovich both had permission to be there and work until Russia was like, we got a better plan for these guys. And then they just took them. And then the United States has to do what the United States has to do to get them back. And every time this happens, to Brad's point, to the larger point, we are saying there's a great value to possessing an American citizen or, you know, the green card holder. We fought to get them back too, as we should.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. It is a tough debate because if the U.S. government came out tomorrow and said, you cannot go to Russia anymore, I don't know that I would fight it that hard. It's just that I would have, it's kind of the libertarian instinct of saying, you know what, if you choose to do that, while it's on you, we still will go to bat for you, but you got to know what you're stepping into.
And in the Paul Whelan scenario, it was like almost 6 years or something that he was over there. So during the Brittany Griner exchange, they were like, what about Paul? U.S. Marine, why are we not getting him back? He had to sit and watch this happen. And thank God he's alive today to be able to come back. Now they're listing other people who are being held in Russia that aren't part of this deal, who now have to sit and wait for how long, living what kind of existence. It's a really, really tough situation. And, you know, when I heard Ari Fleischer say that Congress should pass a law that you're not allowed to travel to Russia, I was like, what? That seems like a pretty dramatic step to me. But I also think that there is a reality that we all have to acknowledge that says, if you go there and something happens, you should have seen that coming. We've got a lot of people on the YouTube chat talking about other athletes have gone and played in Russia, not had any problem. Okay, fine. But are you gonna be captured by Russia if you go play in Europe? Probably not. I mean, you can play the odds. You can take the risk. Everything has risks. That's just a really, really high risk.
Yeah.
For what kind of reward? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know if you're going to go do journalism and Emmanuel Macron's going to keep you in France. Like, it's, I don't think the risk is as high. You got to know that if you go into Russia, you could become a bargaining chip for Vladimir Putin.
Not only is it a high risk for you because you're going to be going to a Russian prison, but now you're putting the United States and your entire country and all of us in a bad and worse position.
Well, I mean, yes. But the high risk is that America says, no, we can't do it. That's the personal risk. I don't think you go to Russia and go, well, I was going to do it and I didn't care about being in prison, but I don't want the United States to be put out. Like, I mean, it is a collateral damage, of course. But you're absolutely running the risk. I mean, you could die there. Mm-hmm. What was the individual's name in North Korea? It wasn't Charlie, was it? There was that young man who was captured in North Korea.
And yeah, I remember the story.
Trump was trying to get him home so bad, and they like figured out that they were going to be able to do it. By the time they got him back,
was it Otto Warmbier?
Otto Warmbier. Yes. And Mike Pompeo talks about that story in his book, which I encourage you to read. You know, you run the risk of being in a state. I mean, that's North Korea. They're their own kind of nuts. I don't want to say that and get captured. They're totally great.
Wait, my computer just went down.
Rocket Man, the best Rocket Man there ever was. Let's take a quick break. Go vote in the YouTube poll. Let's talk about that when we come back. Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? We need to know what you think. So if you hang out with us here and leave us a comment after you vote, we will tell you at 2:45 or 2:55, I should say, what the results are. Doug said yes, absolutely, 100 yes, and she probably will. Ooh, man. Jackie says yes. That's scary to think about, but it is a possibility. What do you think? Let us know. We'll be right back.
That he will weaponize the Department of Justice against his political enemies. That he will round up peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country. And even, quote, terminate the United States Constitution.
Gosh, what would that look like? Hard to imagine.
I can't even imagine.
Well, wait a second.
Let's go to
yesterday.
I can't imagine somebody, you know, if he started suppressing free speech, for instance, or persecuting his political opponents. You know,
they weaponize the Justice Department against his enemies.
Just throw out the Constitution. We're done. You can't do that.
I always say that we're not as stupid as they need us to be. We're going to find out in November.
Don't say that.
YouTube poll
today. I don't want to find out.
Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? What if we find out that we aren't as stupid? Can she win?
What if we're so stupid that we say no and then she wins?
I don't get it.
I don't either. I'm disappointed in the fact that she could win the presidency because she has zero policies that are Biden-Harris policies are not among anything that Americans are worried about right now. So if she is able to win, it is because of a just fawning media that has made her feel good. Just enough to get her over the finish line because it won't be a big win if she gets one.
Yeah, make her feel good. They made other people feel good. It's make them feel safe with her and feel threatened by Trump is kind of the goal here.
Can she win?
Yeah, she can win. I think she's got a good shot at winning. I don't know that she's the favorite to win at this point, but she can definitely win. And to Ryan's point, this media is going to do everything they can to drag her across the line. But I sit there. People don't realize, Ryan and Annie are like, we're not as dumb as they need us to be. And I don't think it's dumb that will drag her across the line. I don't think it'll be Americans being fooled by her. I think if she wins, it will be because people just hate Donald Trump that much. They just hate him. They never hated him before he ran for office. He ran for office. The media did a hit job on him, and it is stuck, and people believe he is everything that they said he was. And then he does something, and they're like, oh, see, that's him doing it. That's him doing the thing. They completely ignore anything good that he does. They'll take whatever clip they can, put it out of context, and just reinforce that image that they've created of him. It's not because people are stupid. It's because they will vote against their own image to feel good about themselves. Now, you might say that's dumb, but I don't think that matters.
Did you guys see the boxing, the Olympic boxing situation? I've got a tweet up here from Jillian Michaels, who is just absolutely my favorite and a dream guest in the show. What are we doing here, guys? It's not transphobic to think this is unsafe and unfair. So an Algerian boxer was facing off against an Italian boxer, and the boxer from Italy, she took like one direct hit to her face and she just quit. And they, you know, pronounced the Algerian boxer the winner. And a lot of people are up in arms about it. Do you guys have thoughts about this specifically? It's a complicated one.
It's such a... I'll tell you one thing that I had not really thought about until we started saying Algerian versus Italian. This is not just an American problem.
This is
a problem everywhere, and we talk about it like it's an American problem. But, you know, a little bit off the point, but the UK has outlawed this kind of thing for minors. The surgeries that we're debating have already been outlawed in the UK.
She's not transgender.
Oh, she's not?
She's not.
Then I misunderstood the headline.
She has failed tests before. But she is not she does not say she's transgender. She's never been made out to be transgender. The fact that she's failed the test before, that's the substance here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, it changes everything according to the way I understood the story, because I was seeing misreport, and I should have seen there was a lot of debate about this on Twitter about it being.
Well, if it's a man.
Yeah, yeah.
A biological man fighting a woman, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying this right. Amani Khalif of Algeria defeated Angelina Cerini of Italy after Cerini quit 46 seconds into the match. She stopped the fight only after a few punches were exchanged. She avoided the handshake and then fell to the floor in tears. Khalif's participation in Olympic women's boxing has been scrutinized in recent days after reports surfaced that she and another boxer, Lin Yuting of Taiwan, failed to meet gender eligibility tests at the Women's World Boxing Championships in New Delhi last year. At the time, sporting officials alleged that the boxers failed an unspecified test because they had male chromosomes. But that's not how the Olympics have identified it right now. So it's just like in flux.
So the Olympic policy isn't clear? Is that what's being debated?
They're saying that a year ago, at the time, sporting officials alleged that the boxers failed an unspecified test because they had male chromosomes. Why is it that we don't just run it? Like, why is that not part of the Olympic in order to qualify to box, especially of all things, boxing, to compete? But they are not known to be, they're not like, I'm here representing the transgender community.
Okay, but they could be males. We just don't know.
And they're not saying.
Okay, so that, thank you for clearing it up, because that is a bizarre story. It does seem as if that would be one sport you would want to make sure. Like, if two people are going to get into
physical
an arena
strength
and just punch each other, like, you know what? Let's make sure that somebody doesn't have a distinct advantage here to absolutely destroy
Khalif,
the other.
25 has always competed as a woman, including during the Tokyo Olympics, and there's no indication that she identifies as transgender or intersex, the latter referring to people born with reproductive organs that do not fit into the male or female gender binary. My question is, I don't really care how you identify. What are you?
That's a great question.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, go on and identify however you want. Live your life.
Yeah.
But regarding this, what are you?
It seems like you're asking an Olympic question.
Yeah. On behalf of the boxer Cerini, who fought really hard, literally, to get there. It's wild. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Peaceful protesters and throw them out of our country. and even, quote, terminate the United States Constitution.
Gosh, what would that look like? Hard to imagine.
I can't even imagine.
Well, wait a second.
Let's
go to yesterday.
I can't imagine somebody, you know, if he started suppressing free speech, for instance, or persecuting his political opponents, you know,
they weaponize the Justice Department against his enemies.
Just throw out the Constitution. We're done. You can't do that.
I always say that we're not as stupid as they need us to be. We're going to find out in November.
Don't say that.
YouTube poll
today. I don't want to find out.
Can Kamala Harris win the presidency? Yes or no? What if we find out that we aren't as stupid? Can she win?
What if we're so stupid that we say no and then she wins?
I don't get it.
I don't either. I'm disappointed in the fact that she could win the presidency because she has zero policies that are Biden-Harris policies are not among anything that Americans are worried about right now. So if she is able to win, it is because of a just fawning media that has made her feel good just enough to get her over the finish line, because it won't be a big win if she gets one.
It'll make her feel good. They made other people feel good. It's make them feel safe with her and feel threatened by Trump is kind of the goal here.
Can she win?
Yeah, she can win. I think she's got a good shot at winning. I don't know that she's the favorite to win at this point, but she can definitely win. And to Ryan's point, this media is going to do everything they can to drag her across the line. But I sit there. People don't realize, Ryan and Annie, are like, we're not as dumb as they need us to be. And I don't think it's dumb that will drag her across the line. I don't think it'll be Americans being fooled by her. I think if she wins, it will be because people just hate Donald Trump that much. They just hate him. They'd never hated him before he ran for office. He ran for office. The media did a hit job on him, and it is stuck, and people believe he is everything that they said he was. And then he does something, and they're like, oh, see, that's him doing it. That's him doing the thing. They completely ignore anything good that he does. They'll take whatever clip they can, put it out of context, and just reinforce that image that they've created of him. It's not because people are stupid. It's because they will vote against their own image to feel good about themselves. Now, you might say that's dumb, but I don't think that matters.
Did you guys see the Olympic boxing situation? I've got a tweet up here from Jillian Michaels, who is just absolutely my favorite and a dream guest in the show. What are we doing here, guys? It's not transphobic to think this is unsafe and unfair. So an Algerian boxer was facing off against an Italian boxer, and the boxer from Italy, she took like one direct hit to her face and she just quit. And they, you know, pronounced the Algerian boxer the winner. And a lot of people are up in arms about it. Do you guys have thoughts about this specifically? It's a complicated one.
I'll tell you one thing that I had not really thought about until we started saying Algerian versus Italian. This is not just an American problem.
This is
a problem everywhere, and we talk about it like it's an American problem. But, you know, a little bit off the point, but the UK has outlawed this kind of thing for minors. The surgeries that we're debating have already been outlawed in the UK.
She's not transgender.
Oh, she's not?
She's not.
Then I misunderstood the headline.
She has failed tests before. But she is not she does not say she's transgender. She's never been made out to be transgender. The fact that she's failed the test before, that's the substance here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Well, it changes everything according to the way I understood the story, because I was seeing misreport, and I should have seen there was a lot of debate about this on Twitter about it being.
Well, if it's a man.
Yeah, yeah.
A biological man fighting a woman, that's one thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying this right. Amani Khalif of Algeria defeated Angelina Cerini of Italy after Cerini quit 46 seconds into the match. She stopped the fight only after a few punches were exchanged. She avoided the handshake and then fell to the floor in tears. Khalif's participation in Olympic women's boxing has been scrutinized in recent days after reports surfaced that she and another boxer, Lin Yuting of Taiwan, failed to meet gender eligibility tests at the Women's World Boxing Championships in New Delhi last year. At the time, sporting officials alleged that the boxers failed an unspecified test because they had male chromosomes. But that's not how the Olympics have identified it right now. So it's just like in flux.
So the Olympic policy isn't clear? Is that what's being debated?
They're saying that a year ago, at the time, sporting officials alleged that the boxers failed an unspecified test because they had male chromosomes. Why is it that we don't just run it? Like, why is that not part of the Olympic in order to qualify to box, especially of all things, boxing, to compete? But they are not known to be, they're not like, I'm here representing the transgender community.
Okay, but they could be males. We just don't know.
And they're not saying.
Okay, so that, thank you for clearing it up, because that is a bizarre story. It does seem as if that would be one sport you would want to make sure. Like, if two people are going to get into
physical
an arena
strength
and just punch each other, like, you know what? Let's make sure that somebody doesn't have a distinct advantage here to absolutely destroy
Khalid,
the other.
25 has always competed as a woman, including during the Tokyo Olympics, and there's no indication that she identifies as transgender or intersex, the latter referring to people born with reproductive organs that do not fit into the male or female gender binary. My question is, I don't really care how you identify. What are you?
That's a great question. Mm-hmm.
And I mean, go on and identify however you want. Live your life.
Yeah.
But regarding this, what are you?
It seems like you're asking an Olympic question.
Yeah. On behalf of the boxer Serini, who fought really hard, literally, to get there. It's wild. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.